This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
This is Paul Guerra, Chief Executive of the Victorian Chamber of Commerce and Industry. I've had COVID last year, and trust me, you don't want to get it. The best way to protect yourself right now, to protect your families, to protect your colleagues, is to go out and get the jab as soon as you can. I got the jab on Sunday, and I hope you can do that soon too. We thank you all for playing your part. We will get through this together, and please look after each other. Thanks.
A Joy Community Service message.
Well, that was freaky. That's one of the messages we've recorded, with community and business leaders to encourage people to have vaccinations. And ironically, it's just played randomly. Paul Guerra, we've now got you on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Always scary listening to you.
I know.
But I didn't realise that you actually had contracted COVID yourself. Tell us about those.
Yeah, I did in July last year. It was quite horrible. Initially, I went and got tested after hesitating to get tested. And even when I got tested, the doctor nearly didn't test me. Luckily, we did, because 2 days later, came back, and unfortunately, I come back positive. So what was really weird about it is my wife didn't get COVID, my daughter didn't get COVID, my youngest son didn't get COVID, but my middle son did. So, and again, off the second opportunity, my wife, my daughter, and my other son didn't get COVID either. So I still don't think we understand how it spreads.
Yeah, so wow. I presume that you live with your family in close proximity.
Yeah, I do. And look, I got tested the Tuesday, and we didn't get my results back till Thursday. So my wife didn't move out of the bedroom until Thursday night. So she had ample opportunity to get it. Fortunately, she didn't get it, which is good. But as I said on the ad there, it's the sickest that I've been, and I mean that seriously. It's not something that I would want anybody to get.
Wow.
And look, Paul, I want to thank you, for doing that message. We selected a number of people, from the business, from the business community, from our community, from, Sally Cap as well, and really appreciate it. Because I think it's important that people understand and hear from people whose names they recognise. And, of course, yours people recognise because they see you on the news quite regularly. The Victorian Chamber of Commerce and Industry represents business broadly in Victoria. It's a pretty broad church, I understand that. Tell us, we're in lockdown 4 and we're in the second week of this lockdown. Business people who you represent and speak to you every day, tell us what they're feeling and what they're thinking.
Yeah, I liken this period to the last month of lockdown 2. So going back to October last year, the concern that is across the business community at the moment is at extreme. There's a number of businesses that just won't make it through. There's a number of workers that up until the federal government announcement on Thursday this week weren't going to get paid. The great thing about this time around, though, is construction and manufacturing is open, and of course we've got regional Victoria back in operation now. But the concerns there, the question keeps coming up: how do we end up back here again, and what will it take to get out of this?
I suppose, Paul, look, the challenge here is, and we're speaking with Catherine Bennett earlier, epidemiologist from Deakin, and there are a lot of opinions on this. You know, if I can transpose you to another role, perhaps, if you were the person making the decision about lockdowns, and based on the fact, yeah, you're not a medical person and neither am I, but in terms of fighting this virus, understanding where you're coming from a business perspective, what do you think needs to be done, or what would you do differently?
It's a great question, and I've got the utmost respect for Catherine. I think she's done a wonderful job through this, helping us all interpret what the messaging is in terms of where the virus is going. Look, I think a number of things have changed, and that's probably the difference between where we are now and where we were back last year. Vaccination rates are going up, and we have found a way to protect the vulnerable, and that's a great thing. The second thing is, I think we've all understood that masks can play a really big part, and we were quick to put masks on this time around as well. The QR coding, which, you know, we could argue that we probably weren't as great at coming into this lockdown. I think we'll be expert at it coming out of the lockdown. But I think the other big shift is the contact tracing this time around is doing what it's meant to be doing. And we believe we need to trust that more. I've no concerns with the amount of exposure sites that have been listed. I've no concerns with the amount of contacts that we've found through contact tracing, because that's what it's meant to be doing. It's a question now of how many is too many to be able to manage. And Catherine would have a better understanding of that than me. So our view is, when I look north to New South Wales, they managed to stay open and had more cases than what we're currently dealing with. Now, I know that's not a fair comparison, because New South Wales does move differently to what Victorians do. But somewhere around what we've got in terms of contact tracing, vaccination, QR coding, and an ambition to stay open is where we need to get to.
Can I just throw in there, Tash, just, I know you've got a question. The close contacts that we have in this outbreak, you know, started off or were over 10,000, so that was a very large difference. Is your... Are you saying, Paul, that somewhere between what New South Wales has done and what Victoria's done, you know, there might be somewhere in between there where our ability to stay open might be better? Is that what you're, you know, saying, perhaps an amalgam of those two?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, and we've seen, you know, regional Victoria is up and going now, which is fabulous. Metropolitan Victoria stays in a lockdown situation with, you know, another 5 cases today, but they're all known contacts. And they're all, I think one was in quarantine and the others have been isolating. So all of that is good news in terms of the contact tracing having done its job. The question is, can we, and I know last year there was a desire, and we did get to zero, and there were advantages that we got to get to, that we had by getting to zero. This time around, with the change in circumstances, can we actually still continue to operate with a little bit of virus in known areas, i.e. there's not community transmission, there is there may be transmission with or positives coming out of people in isolation. Can we have the ambition to operate in that environment?
So, Paul, the point of lockdowns is not to shut down business. The point of a lockdown is to actually stop people from circulating. In the context when you have over 10,000 primary contacts, and in the context where over 130, actually got up to about 150 separate sites were identified where people with the virus had been circulating, what alternative are you proposing?
So the fact that we've got so many contacts is a good thing, because it does show that contact tracing is working. And we'll never know whether the lockdown actually stopped further circulation through it. I think the idea of short, sharp lockdowns, and the same as what we're seeing in South Australia, in Queensland and in Perth, which I think were 3 days, we experienced the 5-day one earlier this year, that does give an opportunity for the contact tracers to catch up without necessarily doing an over amount of damage to business. We've seen New South Wales operate without anything other than localised lockdowns. And that's probably where we'd say, let's move to, let's get to localised rather than statewide lockdowns. Now, I know this one, again, has been a bit different because it wasn't a known escape from any Victorian conditions. It came into Victoria via another state, and we know that individual had, been circulating, as would have been, without knowing that he or she had COVID at that point in time, they would have been going about their daily business until a point in time where they felt ill and then got tested. So, and I think that's ultimately why we had so many contacts at the point that we did. But
plus the new variant. Don't forget the new variant, Paul, because that was another ingredient in this.
Yeah, there's a little bit of speculation around that new variant, though. And again, we hear a new variant was released yesterday. I don't know enough about it to know how aggressive that new variant is. The good thing is we sit here today knowing that there's only five more cases, so that's good news. And one of those come out of quarantine, the rest of out of people isolating. So, and it's about doing the right thing. And I don't think we were perfect with QR coding. I think we'll be much better at coming out of that. And look, the other positive that's come out of this lockdown is the vaccination rates in this state have gone up. Victorians have been magnificent in their effort to go and get vaccinated. And then ultimately, that's the key out of this.
Interestingly enough, you've already described the range of interventions that we have. It includes testing, vaccination, wearing masks, QR codes, contact tracing, and lockdowns. Lockdowns are whether they be localised, focused, or whether they be statewide. They are all strategies that we have that are known at this point in the game that we can use to prevent the virus from infecting our population. So my question to you is, what do you value, a healthy community or do you value a healthy economy?
It's got to be a balance of both. I don't think we can ever deny the fact that, this is a pandemic, this is a health crisis, and what every Victorian experienced last year is something that we never want to go through again. The question for us all is, can we learn from what happened last year and apply some of those learnings in the context of what is available today? So we learnt last year. We also now know that we've got other things at hand, which you've just described. And the other thing that we also have on hand, which was announced yesterday, is a purpose-built quarantine facility, which will ensure that there's no more escapes out of hotel quarantine once.
Which Macca actually told us earlier on is at least 6 months off. Yeah. So that's actually not another strategy that we can include in this armory at this stage. I mean, the truth is that hotel quarantine has been effective to a degree as this virus begins to vary. I'm not quite sure that it will continue to be effective. But look, I want to go back to my question to you. How can you have a healthy economy without a healthy population?
The flip side to it is if we keep shutting down, will we have a healthy economy when we finally open up?
And so you're answering my question with a question, but seriously, how can you have a healthy economy without a healthy population? If people can't generate income, if people can't work, if people aren't healthy to be able to do those sorts of things, how can they then spend money and participate in our society?
But the contention needs to be a balance.
Yeah.
And that's how I'd answer your question. It's making sure that we don't underplay the risk that's there. Equally, we don't overplay the risk that's there, and find ways through the strategies that we've talked about to get the balance as right as we can. Is locking down the whole state at every point the right way to go? People like Catherine would have a better answer than that and a more balanced answer than that than I would. All I'm suggesting is we've seen New South Wales do it differently. We've seen all the other states do it differently, and I know they haven't been to the extremes that we have, and we wouldn't wish what Victoria experienced last year upon everybody, but there are some new things in play that we can rely on, and importantly, Victoria has improved, without question, has improved in the contact tracing side, which should leave us with confidence, and the vaccination is showing, it is ultimately going to be the way forward for us.
I think an interesting theme that's coming through in the emails, Paul, acknowledging... that you've acknowledged you're not an expert in this and you're simply giving your opinion, and I welcome that. But one of the things that's coming through, a lot of our listeners are saying a lot of businesses are being a little bit cavalier. Now, it's only a small portion, I acknowledge that. I went into a small business yesterday to order some takeaway food. And as I ordered it, I was doing the QR code, and he said, oh, you're doing the QR code. And I said, yes, he started a discussion about an international conspiracy. I told him basically to cook the chips. Don't worry about that. But a lot of things that are coming through in these messages is that some businesses are not really the QR code component.
Well, some businesses just don't take the health of our community seriously.
And they don't take it seriously, and that is a real concern. I mean, what do you say? I mean, I know in all the communication the Chamber does with its members, it reinforces this. But are you getting any, do you hear any sort of pushback from your members about the QR codes and such, and particularly the regional businesses that now are sort of, being asked to identify where people are from? What sort of feedback are you getting on that, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, quite simply, if a business is not doing the right thing, we need to start calling them out.
Yeah.
If you've been living in Victoria for the past 15 months, you know how hard it's been. It's not negotiable, right? Put your QR code up, and as you've done, when you walk in, all of us need to do is check in. If a business doesn't understand that, I don't think they should be in business. It's as simple as that. We need to take this seriously, and there's no question, and I've experienced it myself, I don't think we were as rigid around the need for QR codes across the board as what we could have been. Mm. And I hope that as we come out of this lockdown, there isn't any complacency around it. Business does the right thing across the board, and as customer citizens, we also do the right thing when we walk up now. And basically demand to see the QR code and make sure that we're checking in as well. I don't retract from that position at all. We've done it in our communication. It's a not negotiable for being in business in this state now.
And it's, we get used to it. And I say to people, I encourage you, I know we all have plenty of apps on our phones, but if you don't have the Services Victoria app on your phone, you're making that, the QR code is now aligned with that. Bloody install it, because it's literally, it's not even a couple of seconds to check in. Make it easy. Paul.
Gee, our switchboard has been completely jammed with commentary this morning, Macca. It's very interesting. Quite polarising views, to be honest, Paul. A lot of people are very angry with some of the commentary that's been made this morning, and saying that they're sick and tired of business telling them that their needs come before the health of our community needs. I'm just trying to summarise the views here, Macca. Tell me if I'm wrong.
No, look, it's right. And Paul, you yourself know when you a large organisation, you get 10 people in a room, you'll get 11 different ideas. People feel uneasy about all of this, and they don't know what the future holds. And I do know the things that matter to people. They want access to all the businesses that they've had in the past. They want to be well, they want to be employed, and often, when people make comments that they don't agree with, they arc up. But what's important is actually having this engagement test, is, giving folks like Paul and his and the people that he represents the opportunity to put their position. That's what matters, and people will decide whether it's there. Paul, when you engage with government on this, federal and state, and I know that you have a lot of discussions with the City of Melbourne. Do you feel that the concerns are being addressed in the way that you'd like? Or, give us your take on that.
Yeah, the conversations across the board I've found to be really open. They're seeking input, and we're seeking input at the same time. There's no, back to the you know, the switchboard lighting up.
Yeah.
That's the issue at hand is something that we're all dealing with for the first time. And if there's a view that business wants to be bloody minded about this, I'd absolutely love to correct that, because that's not the case. At the end of the day, business owners are people living in the same conditions that, you know, those workers are and the rest of Victorians are as well. So there's no need to be bloody minded about it, but there's also a need to work through how do we operate as a community, both business and citizens, to make sure that we all have a future rather than just being locked up. And that's the reality of what we're trying to navigate through. The best way to do it is to go and get vaccinated. And to your listeners that are able to, that's our best way out of this, particularly when we look at what's happening around the rest of the world. You know, the great day this week in the UK where I think for the first time in many, many months, they recorded no deaths.
Yes.
But if you have a look at their vaccination rates, they're up as high as what they've ever been as well. So there's a direct correlation to that.
Yeah.
Back to the conversations. And this is one of the things that, you know, the government needs to balance as well. And it's why at different times there'll be differences of opinion in terms of where, you know, could things be. You know, the government's making decisions on behalf of all of the constituents, be it citizens, be it businesses, be it others. And they have to make an unenviable call in terms of what is the right way forward. And in this case, they've made a call that, you know, some businesses in regional Victoria can get going. Metropolitan Victoria, most businesses need to stay closed. But they found a way to carve out construction. They found a way to carve out manufacturing in metropolitan Victoria as well. So at least some people can get back to work and some businesses can operate as well.
Mm. Paul, let's hope that next Thursday there's a further relaxing of restrictions. We all want... Look, we're never going to get back... We're not going to get back to normal for a long time. We're going to be...
This is the normal, I'm afraid.
This is
the normal, and we will continue to have cluster outbreaks, and we will continue to have to shut down things in order to stop the virus from moving around our community, whether it be localised or statewide. Now, the more we know, the better we're able to implement the suite of strategies that we have in place, the better we'll be able to isolate the lockdowns. I have to say that from my personal point of view, what matters to me is having a healthy community, and I will listen to scientists before I listen to coffee shop owners and small business operators about what strategies to implement. Paul, thank you very much for your time this morning.
And yeah, I think I say to other media organisations, come on, find some other business people to comment rather than, you know, those really small businesses who are feeling it, but, you know... Paul always makes himself available for comment. Our listeners may not always agree with you, Paul, but hey, they don't always agree with me either.
That's fine. It's great to come on, and it's a polarising topic. There's no doubt about that. I think all of us would align on the fact that we hope we get through this sooner rather than later. And you know,
but that's just it, Paul. We won't. I mean, the thing is that this virus is here for a long time. It's not going away tomorrow.
No, I agree with that. And we will have to live with it. But, you know, we know as vaccination rates come up, you know, we can start to live back in an environment where, you know, the ultimate threat subsides as well. I agree with you, Tass. We're going to be living with this in the same way that we live with the flu. But we've managed to do that.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a way forward in this.
Thank you. Thanks for your time, Paul. Tass, did you...
Pleasure. I look forward to seeing you again.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thank you very much for your time, Paul.
We do too.
I have never seen our switch. It's blowing up. It's still going, Macca. I've never seen the switchboard like this.
And look, you know, as I've often said, Tass, if we only had people on this show that we 100% agree with, it would only be a 15-minute show.
Look, I think that's true, Macca, but...
we have to hold them to account. We have to ask the questions and... But if we don't have them on, and I know people, and the comments, there's a lot of comments. And
I mean, I think the comments are, what I'm hearing is a lot of frustration and anger here, Macca. People are very angry of, you know, this, it's the view that I expressed earlier on, that small business operators all of a sudden are prioritising their needs over the population health needs.
Yeah, and look, you know, when I see that, I having run a small business many years ago, Tass, it was on a 7-day business and, you know, day six, you know, day six pay the electricity bills, day seven did this, you know. And if you were lucky, you might have got 2 days of the turnover or the profit for yourself. It's not easy. But also, you know, I'm not an epidemiologist, even though, you know, I'd like to be, I think. Their comment is valid, but, you know, I say to other media organisations, you know...
Well, stop asking. Valid?
Well,
is
no,
it valid?
They've
is
got
it
a,
valid?
They've got a view.
Everybody has a view, but how can you have a personal opinion over a scientifically informed position?
And like I say that. To other media organisations, you know, surely you've got more people who you can ask their opinion on or their feedback. You know, what about the big manufacturer, you know, of you know, who makes bodies for the backs of some vehicles in Dandenong, who's still operating, right, and is operating in a restricted environment but is still operating because they've adapted. You know, that business, I want to hear from those businesses of the challenges that they have. Yeah, opinions, they're like nostrils, everyone has at least two. But, you know, I think, I say to other media, you know, if I see another coffee shop owner, you know, offering vaccination and testing advice, I'll scream. Mm. But yeah, we've had some interesting feedback. Now we're not actually having
40 and 50 messages.
Yeah, we've had a lot.
Oh, and it's still going. I've not seen this before, Macca. Even Pauline Hanson didn't generate this many messages.
Who's she?
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.